You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mutsu. Alongside me is always the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, how you doing today?
Only terrific, Mo. Good energy. It's only positivity. But you must have something going on.
I had a feeling that you would be in a good mood, because with Milwaukee losing again last night, your Detroit Pistons leapfrog the Milwaukee Bucks in the standings to head up to fifth in the Eastern Conference. Just a game and a half outside the four seed.
How about that, Mo? How about that? How about those Pistons? How about it?
Wild. Wild. And then, of course, you've got in the Western Conference, you've got the Rockets in second place. The Nuggets a game and a half behind them. The Lakers a game behind them. The Grizzlies also a game behind them. Then you've got the Clippers and the Warriors and the Timberwolves with only half a game separating those three teams. The closing stretch of this season is going to be absolutely fascinating to watch. Which games from last night, while the rest of the world was distracted by an interview, which games from last night stood out to you? Because your little prediction of the Suns going 8-0 over this stretch...
I predicted that they were going to go 8-0. You're funny.
In 4K.
Yeah, okay.
Well, with your webcam in 720p.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's just another night in the NBA. I thought that was a good win by the Clippers last night. You know, I thought they, you know, for them to go on the road and win and you know, keep applying the pressure on teams and in the standings. So I thought that was a really good win for them in New York City here. And I think the Clippers now are in sixth place, right? I think they jumped over the Golden State Warriors, right? Mm-hmm. Is that how it worked?
Yeah. So they've got the same record as the Warriors, but they must have the head-to-head.
Yeah.
That gives them the advantage.
So that was a big game. I thought, you know, the Nuggets, you know, Jokic keeps, you know, he just keeps moving right along there.
With the Clippers, if they are fully healthy for the playoffs, what's the ceiling?
For the Clippers? I think the Clippers have a chance. You know, Mo, I'm not sold.
I think the Clippers could win the whole thing if they're fully healthy. Is that an insane thought?
Well, I just think there's a lot of parity in the Western Conference. Even though the Oklahoma City Thunder are the number one seed, you know, I don't get the feeling that they are the most dominant team in the Western Conference, even though they have the best record. And that seems kind of odd to say that, but that's just the feeling that I've received in watching them and watching how teams play against them. You know, it's nothing against them. They have been terrific. I think they've won over 60 games now. Mm-hmm. And you know, well, at least I think that's what I saw yesterday.
60 and 12.
Yeah, 60. And so I think they are terrific. They've played great all year, regardless, with the exception of Shea. They've been able to figure this out. Now, in saying that, I don't think it's for sure that if they play the Clippers, that will be, you know, an easy series. I think it's going to, you know, like any team will, you know, they will provide problems or situations. But easily, Kawhi Leonard and James Harden, they're capable. So I would give the edge to the Thunder. However, I would be watching with anticipation that this could go either way in any game
or that series. Do you remember last year, you, Scott, and I used to do a thing on this show where we would rank our top five contenders on a weekly basis? I think it's time to revisit that. And I would like to hear your top five contenders for the championship this season in order from 5 to 1.
You know, this has been one of those seasons. You know, Cleveland is number one for the majority of the season, but I still have Boston. I mean, that doesn't...
So at one, you have Boston.
Well, in the Eastern Conference.
No, I'm saying to win the whole thing.
Well, I have to go with OKC based on what I've seen.
Okay.
I mean, based on what I've seen, I would have to say OKC.
Okay.
Based on what I've seen, I have to say Cleveland.
Cleveland at two.
I have to say the Celtics somewhere three.
And then you got two more spots.
Then I think Denver at four. And who do you put at five?
You got Lakers, you got the Warriors, you got the Clippers, you got, I don't see anyone else in the East except for the Celtics or the Cavs winning that, barring major injury to either of those teams. But you've got Nuggets. Oh, you've already said the Nuggets. You've got the Lakers, the Clippers, the Warriors. Maybe the Timberwolves if you're feeling that. I don't know if the Rockets, because if it's based on what we've seen, the Rockets have to be considered here, holding down second place in the West for the
Yeah,
rest of the entire season.
you have to
And
say the Rockets. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You have to say the Rockets.
you're putting the Rockets a five.
You have to. I mean, based on what you've seen, you got to go what you. I mean, I can tell you what I feel, but based on what I've seen in the regular season, you have to go with those teams, right? You got to go with
Yeah,
Boston and Cleveland.
I mean, you can't put like the full stock into the standings because the Lakers made a trade mid-season that changed the trajectory of their entire team now. So even though they are what now, 2.5 games behind the Houston Rockets, there could be a case to be made that they have a better chance of winning a championship than Houston do.
Could be. I mean, my Pistons could be in the conference
No, come
finals.
on, come on, come
They
on.
could be. They could be. But I'm telling you, Pistons right now. If you said the Pistons versus the, I think they would play the Pacers right now, right? We could definitely win two or three games in that series. That's not far-fetched.
Okay.
No, I could easily, I could see that.
Then in the second round, they taking out the Cavs or the Celtics?
Hey, you've seen weirder things happen, an injury, someone doesn't play well, a bad matchup. The playoffs are always about matchups. They're always about matchups. And it's one thing about Cade Cunningham when you have a big point guard. For the most part, that's a bad matchup for someone. For someone. And so I'm not opposed to something a little strange happening in the playoffs this year.
I know
I'm
you're
just
not. You're a business fan. You're
no,
hoping for
no,
it.
I no, I'm not hoping for it. I just the Pistons didn't, what are they, about 9 or 10 games over 500 right now? Listen,
Yeah,
you When you be when you get when you start when
41
you
and
start
13.
getting when you start getting in that, now it's just about a matchup. It's about matchups. And this team could easily they could do something. That's upsets happen, not as frequent as let's say the NCAA tournament or used to be, but you some things can happen. They have a good team. So I'm not convinced that the teams at the top are that much better than the teams slightly below them. I'm not convinced this year.
When was the last time you saw the NBA with this much parity?
Oh, I say this every year. I can't allow myself to ever get comfortable. Never trust happiness when it comes to thinking you know something. I approach this game with too much humility to know that these players are really that good. And you never know when a player is going to suddenly have a breakthrough. You look at all the great players. Their reputation was made in the playoffs. That's where your reputation is made. So I respect the game too much to think that I know anything. And I always give people a chance. I always give people a chance until you can do it. I the Pistons, the Knicks can suddenly get healthy at the right time and make a run. I mean, Jaylen Brown has been out. They could suddenly come back and be ready to go. Anything is possible. But what I will say is I don't see just a dominant team that I say for sure. I don't have that confidence with any other teams. Now, and I go back to the Denver Nuggets. Well, you can argue that Jokic and Shea have been the two, players that have kind of separated themselves from the rest of the pack, right? But I don't feel that their teams are like just significantly better than the other teams where you say, You know, if Jokic, if Oklahoma played Denver right now, who would you say the best player in the series?
In a playoff series, I'll say Jokic.
Yeah, there you go. And Shea could easily win the MVP. So that's what I'm saying. I don't feel as confident, but that's just my gut instinct. It's not to say that Shea won't end up being the best player in that series, because it's all about the matchups. You have to find the matchup, and you have to play to your strength. So we'll see. I'm excited to see the playoffs. I think there is a lot of parity this year, and I think it'll be fun. It'll be exciting.
It's always exciting. It's always exciting to see how the playoffs unfold with a team like OKC, because they have separated themselves in the regular season. If we're just going to take it for what it is, if we take it with no context, they are clearly the best team in the NBA throughout the regular season. When it comes to the postseason, because they've not really made a significant run yet as a young team, how much does that factor into your decision-making process when ranking teams as contenders?
Well, when I watched the OKC Thunder play, I'm watching them through a championship lens, and I'm sure they are aware of this as well. So it's not like I'm making some, revelation or anything. They play the game, especially in the regular season, they play with a terrific flow. They really play with a nice pace and flow that's very hard to play against. If you don't see this team often, all of a sudden you'll be playing against the Knicks. They play at a pace. Then they'll play against our Pistons. They'll play against Miami. And then all of a sudden, OKC Thunder will come in, and all of a sudden they're playing. They're just flying up and down the court. And in particular, I just remember this game when Denver played them in a back-to-back. Because I just wanted to see what Denver was going to do and make what adjustments they were going to make from game one to game two. And it kind of played out the way I thought it was going to play. The first time you see it, you're just like, wow, you make an adjustment and then now you're ready to play. That's what I kind of think is going to happen with the OKC Thunder. Their pace kind of, because they have five guys, five, not two or three, they have five guys that can all play off the dribble. Chet, Hardenstein, Dort, Williams, and Shea. They all play utilizing the dribble. Now, that's very rare. And to me, that's their advantage. I don't know if that's their philosophy, but all their players can play off the dribble. Now, that's very rare to see a team where Hardenstein can dribble it, Chet can dribble it, Dort can dribble it. They all can dribble more than three or more dribbles. So that gives them a tremendous amount of flexibility in the things that they can do offensively, in particular. I think it requires you to kind of get adjusted to that. So the thing that I'm most interested with the OKC Thunder is when the game slows down a little bit, when we start putting together the scouting report, and I can focus in on that very element right there. What are they going to do to counter that? Are they suddenly going to start utilizing a more traditional style to offset what's going to happen? I'm going to take away something within their offensive scheme, because right now they play with a great amount of flow. The ball never sticks. The only one that the ball sticks to is Shea, but he's so good, you probably want him to pass it, and he doesn't pass it. I just think when they get to their offensive scheme in the playoffs, they're going to have to show me, at least I want to see what they can do when the offense isn't playing with the flow. Because I'm probably going to take that away, especially as I advance in the playoffs, because you're going to play against better teams. So that's one element that I think I can defensive scheme against to take something away. And then I want to see their counter. They haven't had to do it in the regular season. And anytime and Denver showed me that it can be done. But that was the regular season. But I think if I could focus in on them and get the team to focus in on them, they'll have to play a different style than I'm currently seeing, which I don't know if they trust the other style. as much as they currently trust the way they play, especially during the regular season. That's my only concern with this group. They defend, they're active, they play in the passing lanes, they have clearly a great score. They can stretch the floor with their bigs. You know, they have Isaiah and Chet, they have length. They have all the things that you're looking for. But I see something that I know I can game plan against. And then I don't know what their counter is to that. I don't know what their counter is. They don't have a guy, with the exception of Shea, that I think I can just dump the ball to and then he can figure it out. Maybe I just live with Shea scoring 30 points and then stay at home on everyone else. I don't know, but I know I can game plan against it. So I feel pretty good about that if you're looking at their team and what traditionally you know is going to happen in the playoffs. You have to have a player that can play within the system and with and out of the system if need be, if you're going to make that deep playoff run.
I think the thing that stands out for me in the OKC Thunder and kind of gives me confidence in them is their perimeter defense with guys like Lu Dort, Cason Wallace, Alex Caruso, pretty much all the guards on their roster just can just lock guys up. You know, they can apply pressure full court if needs be. They're happy to switch almost every position. I think that gives you a very solid foundation for the postseason because, you know, I was watching the Laker game last night. And down the stretch, the Pacers made a comeback into this game. They had no business making a comeback into this game. Down the stretch, they actually took the lead, and Tyrese Haliburton was just picking on Luka Doncic defensively. And we see lots of teams do this. They kind of target the weakest defender on the floor for the other team. But when you look at the OKC Thunder, there's no one that you can really target in that way, especially the way that teams play now, a lot of screen roll heavy stuff. It's going to be harder for teams to pick someone that they can go at on the OKC Thunder than it would on a lot of other teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't too much worry on the offensive end. You're not going to advance if you can't defend. So I'm not concerned about.
I mean, Dallas made the finals last year with Luka
Yeah.
playing basically the whole game.
Yes, they did. However, they had shot blockers and they supplied a team around him to offset that. So I'm not concerned about that. Okay, you pick on my if you. If you don't, if you have, if you're undisciplined enough just to pick on one guy, when you get to the playoffs, there's a there. If you have a defensive, if you have a guy on your team that is, let's say, a below average defender, and the other players are capable defenders with some, let's say, another skill like shot blocking, for instance, you can offset that. You can offset it, right? I can put together a game plan. Your responsibility is to push players, whatever that may be. You can block shots, you can get steals, you can offset the deficiencies that you may have. It's really hard when you don't give the effort and the energy. If you're getting to, you know, the conference finals, you're not getting there because the guy just gave up, okay? You're just not give them some credit, right? I mean, everyone can't be an elite all defensive player. Everyone. So there has to be some level of responsibility. You can choose to pick on a guy, but a lot of times, and I learned this playing against Don Nelson teams in the 80s and the early 90s with the run TMC and all these things, they would purposely put the weakest defender on the best player so that you would always go into isolation. And I asked him, why would he, why did you do that? Why, you know, years later, I asked him, like, you know, because I thought it was interesting. Because normally you put your best defensive player on the best offensive player. He said, because most teams don't have the discipline to run their offense. So we're forcing you to not trust one another. And that made sense to me. So what I don't want to do is fall into the trap of saying, oh, I'm just going to pick on this guy and not run my offense. That's basically a defensive scheme that you try to do. These guys in the NBA are very, very sophisticated. I know it looks like, oh man, well, they're just gonna pick on this guy. A lot of times that's what you want. If I know you're just gonna play one-on-one, Isn't that the goal? It's easier to play against one-on-one than play when the ball is moving. You don't What you don't want to do on the defensive end is play against ball movement and player movement. I want to play against the team that's just going to look to run one play. Because over time, that's the easiest thing to defend. So if I can just put the ball in front of my worst player, that means I have a chance with the four other guys to help. Advantage me.
Then that's when you get
Okay.
into the ball movement and the player movement.
Yes. Now, you got it going. Like a lot of times, Mo, the worst thing that can happen for a team is for that player to get hot, because now he thinks he has to get heat checks. So what you don't want is the team, what you don't want to play against is the team that is disciplined enough to play within their offensive structure and their offensive philosophy and expose you when they have the advantage. What I don't want to play against, what I do want to play against, if I'm on the defensive end, is the team that just wants to play mismatch basketball. Often referred to as hero basketball. Now, when it works, it's great. But in a series, you're basically getting the shot because that's the shot I want you to get. That's, there's a reason the ball gets to certain people, because that's what the defense says. If we'll live with that. Okay. So I'm not saying that's the case all the time, but as you advance, you put together game plans and you got to live with something. And if given a choice, I want my weakest defender on the best player, if given a choice, provided I have shot blockers and other defenders that are capable of helping and playing and doing other things. Because it's anyone will tell you this. It's much more difficult to play against five guys in one. That's why we're always running isolation plays. You're always trying to find the weakest link with no help. And as long as you're providing the help, you'll be okay. So just a little something that you see teams do, and you don't want to fall into that trap because you're going to be a GM someday. You don't want to fall into that trap.
I do want to ask you about, we've spoken about the OKC in the West. I do want to ask you about the Cavaliers over in the East. However, I already know the answer is going to be Evan Mobley needs to be their best player. So with that in mind, the Cleveland Cavaliers, another team that haven't yet proven themselves in the playoffs, but have had a stellar regular season. How are you looking at them? Because they have kind of two smaller guards in their backcourt. That might be an issue going up against other teams who have more size. But how are you looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers? Do you see them seriously winning a championship
Yeah,
or at least
you
getting to
have
the
to.
finals?
You have to. You have to respect the work that they've put in and what they've accomplished during the regular season. There's a stretch when you're a really good team, you always try to not have losing streaks more than two, certainly not three game, three or more games. Well, they had a little stretch recently on the West Coast where they lost like three or four games. And I thought that was interesting because they've had a terrific regular season.
Yeah, they lost to the Clippers, the Kings, the Suns. They then beat the Jazz and the Trailblazers to get back on track.
Okay. So they lost a few games. Now, if you lose two or three games in a series, it's almost impossible to win that series. Okay. So the mindset, that's needed to win. And I'm not saying they can't do it, but I thought that was interesting as I'm following this team, because they've had a terrific regular season. But you said it, Mo, they haven't done it yet. Now, just that little stretch there, I'm not going to make a big deal about it. But if you're going to be a good team, you try not to have consecutive losing streaks. You lose. When you start having two or more losing, when you start losing two or more games in a row, I get concerned, especially if you're a good team.
Yeah, they've got
Okay.
their next game against the Spurs, but after that they've got to see the Pistons, the Clippers, and the Knicks in a three-game streak. So
Yeah, so I'm just watching, I'm watching the details with them. They've had an amazing regular season, certainly you know, they'll probably win over 60 games this year. You know, Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell, those guys have played terrific basketball. However, you know, I'm concerned with this group. I am concerned with this group just because I've seen, you know, no team is perfect, but I am viewing them through a championship lens. Certainly, I feel that I can win a game there just based on what I've seen in the regular season. But when they're playing the way they play, especially on the offensive end, it's very hard to defend them. But I'm not like, I do think, you know, you have a chance. I think you can feel good about saying, you know what, it's going to be hard, but I feel like I have a chance versus this team.
As a player who's been on very successful teams, you know, this closing final 2 weeks of the season, would you rather, as a team who's already cemented themselves as a top seed, would you rather have kind of an easier schedule to allow yourself to not pick up an injury going into the playoffs, or would you rather have a tougher schedule to stay sharp?
I always choose hard. What is easy guarantee? What does easy guarantee mean in this league? Right.
Yeah,
Well,
there's no guarantees, but it gives a chance for your bench guys to get some minutes, gives your coaching staff a chance to evaluate those bench guys in case they need them in a certain matchup. They can
if
see
I
them based
play,
on game situations rather than just practice. Gives your stars a chance to get a little bit of rest ahead of the postseason if you know you've been playing the majority of the game so far in the season. So
you know, Mo, believe it or not, most guys used to play 82 games. Now
yeah.
this is new. Getting rest going
Well,
into
no,
the
I'm not saying to
playoffs.
miss the games, but I'm saying instead of your superstar needing to go out there and play 35 minutes, maybe he just plays 25, 30 minutes.
Well, yeah, I that's a new that's a new thing. You know, I don't. So I'm going to play 25 minutes. No, I want you to play. We're every time we suit up, let's play. Like that's where to me you start tinkering with things. Well, I'm just gonna turn it on and turn it off. I'm gonna get a little bit of re I'm gonna start. No, play. Every time your job is to play. My job is to get you prepared to play. And then
Yeah,
for us
but
to
I'm
go
not
out
saying
there.
to purposely not play. I'm saying when you're playing against bad teams, especially at this time of year when they're all trying to tank, more than likely the game's won by the fourth quarter.
Okay, that's their issue. My issue is to have my team ready to play. Whatever, if someone's tanking or whatever, that's their thing. I'm not coming into the game looking at the game notes going, okay, this team is going to tank. I'm not preparing for that. I'm not. I have never been in a locker room where that was the game plan. Well, this team is tanking, so don't worry about it. No, my job is to be ready because I respect all of the players.
I just find it funny. I was watching the Thunder Sixers game recently, and the Thunder own Philly's pick if it's outside of the top six, right? Philly currently 12th in the conference, 23 and 50. The Thunder purposely rested a whole bunch of their players to try and get Philly to win that game so the pick would land outside the top six. Philly responded by absolutely out tanking them in a masterclass of tanking.
Yeah, I can't participate with that. That
This is a
that's you
new world.
guys.
This
Yeah, you
mostly you
guys.
guys. I'm not
Yeah.
involved. It's
Well, that's
those
what I'm saying.
guys.
I don't even recognize it. I wouldn't even acknowledge it. You know what I mean? I wouldn't even recognize it. I don't know how that
I'm just
works.
saying this is the world we live in now.
Yeah. That's fair. I can respect
But
that.
it's an interesting conversation. Those are the contenders we're looking at ahead of this season's playoffs. Nice to have an episode talking about basketball, BJ. I know the algorithm might not favor us with this episode because we didn't mention LeBron or Stephen A. Smith or Brian Windhorst or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, what's going on? Just catch me up. What's going on in
Le Le
that world?
LeBron went on the Pat McAfee show. He did that
Okay.
because Stephen A. Smith, his enemy now, has a rivalry with Pat McAfee, I guess. Do you know what I found really funny? Is there's these guys in the
Don't they
media.
work at the same station? They
Yeah,
work at the
they both
same.
work at
Oh.
ESPN. There's
Yeah.
these guys in the media, like Shannon Sharpe and Nick Wright, and they spend all day talking about LeBron and how he's their king and all of his greatness. But he didn't give the exclusive to any of them. He went on the football and wrestling show to do this exclusive interview, which I found pretty funny. He said a whole bunch of stuff. It's like an hour long interview. He said Brian Windhorst is a weirdo who pretends that he's his best friend. He was talking about Stephen A. Smith. He said Stephen A. Smith is on a Taylor Swift world tour talking about LeBron. He said that he talks about his relationship with Michael Jordan. He said that me and Jordan are in a good spot, but we don't really talk, and we'll probably be friends after I finish playing. He then alluded to the fact that he thinks the NBA draft lottery is rigged, which was interesting to hear from the face of the NBA. He talked about eras, as we discussed yesterday, talking about Giannis playing in the 70s. He said that Kyrie Irving would probably be banned from dribbling if he played in that era. He talks about Luka's trade to the Lakers and saying that Luka needs to be himself if the Lakers want to be successful. He talks about, how he stays in shape and takes care of his body, how the game has evolved. He said there's a lot of threes being shot, but he's part of it now, so it is what it is. He talks about his son. I don't want to talk about that because people get upset. He talks about his own podcast relaunching, but now without JJ Redick, he's got Steve Nash in, and a whole bunch of other things. He talks about Pat Riley, management style. He talks about JJ Redick being
Yeah,
his coach.
Steve Nash is hosting his podcast. Is
Yeah,
that, is it?
yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right.
So he said a bunch of stuff. I really don't care enough to do an episode
Yeah. So
about it
what
on
do you?
this
Yeah.
podcast.
So what do you?
But
What did
everyone's
you take from all of this?
Stephen A. Smith then did a response. And the internet loves to take things out of context. Everyone's talking about Stephen A. Smith saying that if LeBron touched him, he would have punched him in the face. And then I think he carried on to say like LeBron would have definitely beaten him up, but the internet didn't take that part. I don't know. I just think it's another day of real basketball happening, but not real basketball being spoken
Well,
about.
here's what I can say because I don't participate in that. It's the age of entertainment now. That's where we're at. If there's anything that this has shown me is that we're in the age of entertainment, and that's what it is. There's no other way to. I mean, that's what it is now. So, I don't know how we got here, but let's embrace it. Let's call it what it is. If this is what the fan base, this is where they want to go, this is what they consume, you give them what they want, right?
Yeah.
So, if that's what it is, then that's what it is. And again, you can't be mad at it, Mo, as a producer of the show. You see the algorithm and you see what people are tuning into, and you give them that. So there you go. What does that say about us? I have no idea. I don't listen to any of that, so I don't know. It's none of my
Well,
business,
I'll tell you what it
but
says.
yeah, tell me.
Regardless of what it says about us, what it says about anyone who's still listening to this show right now, because you could have listened to any show in the world today. And if you're listening to this one, salute to yourself because you are a real fan of the sport of basketball and not the celebrity drama and gossip that goes on in a constant cycle of clickbait media topics. So I want to shout out to the listeners today. I appreciate all of you and be proud of yourselves for still appreciating this game for what it is, rather than a celebrity gossip tool that a lot of networks do. So that's what I want to say. I just want to say to the fans who are listening right now, I appreciate you guys. That's all I have to say on it.
I we have the best audience, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay. There's enough room out here for everyone to consume what they enjoy consuming, and that's okay. But our audience, they have been amazing. So not only a thank you, it's just an appreciation that they, we just talk about the game, we have fun, we don't take ourselves too serious. And we just talk about, regardless of the era, is the appreciate an opportunity for us to appreciate, the incredible talent that these current players have, players in the past, and what the players and what the game is going to look like in the future. So it's one thing that I've learned. I don't have to trash any generation to make myself or what era, whatever era you played in, like it's better than the other. Like, the game has moved to a different place, and let's appreciate that. But when you start comparing, start saying things where you're comparing players with rules and well, no, that's not what it is. You and I were talking yesterday about certain players. Well, hey, Mo, those were different times. You appreciate those times. You appreciate that era for what it was. And then you appreciate this era for what it is. And then where the game is going. I love watching the younger players because you're saying in the next 5 or 10 years, Mo, that's what we're going to be talking about when those
Yeah.
players are going to start playing and they're going to usher in a new space. And then
Learning
this
what
era is
they've
going to
seen
look.
before as well.
Wow, and then this era is going to be, believe it or not, this era at some point they're going to be the old guys. That's what is amazing to me is, no, you're not going to be at one point. Yes, Mo, I was part of the new era. I was the new age or whatever you want to call it. And then Mo, all of a sudden, 20, 30 years later, I became the old guy, and I started looking around like, where's the old guy?
This is what I find funny is like the LeBron fans and people and JJ Redick, they say like, oh, Bill Russell played against plumbers. In like 50 years from now, people are gonna say LeBron played against podcasters, right? Like everyone can kind of talk down on people that come before them. Life is a funny thing and it has its weird way of coming back around. I saw a tweet. I don't know much about cars, BJ.
Oh,
But
I do.
you
I'm
know
from
about cars,
Detroit.
right?
I'm from
I don't
Detroit.
all I know about cars, if it's comfortable, I'll drive it. Right? That's all I know. I don't care about brake horsepower,
You know
V12,
what?
and this and that.
Now that you said that, Mo, we're going to take away your Detroit pass.
Oh, okay.
That's the Motor City. Okay,
Because
Mo,
I have
you
an
have to know
electric car.
about.
I have an electric
Yeah,
car,
yeah,
so
yeah,
you
yeah.
ain't gonna let me in anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, I saw this tweet and I don't know if it's accurate because I don't know about cars, but it said, just because in 2025, what was the car that he used? Like a Honda or something, just something, just like a normal car. Just because a Honda is now faster than a Mercedes-Benz from the 1980s, it doesn't mean the Honda is a better car. And I thought, as an analogy, that makes perfect sense because of how technology has evolved. That doesn't discredit the technology that was available back then. If that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense. I just thought it was a pretty interesting thought point.
Yeah, Mo, you're just Look at you. You're just on a different vibration right now. You know the
Come on, man. Come on,
vibes.
man. It's the fasting. It's gonna be thinking differently, you know what I
Oh,
mean?
okay. All
But
right. Okay.
While we're here, oh, it's not even Friday today. We've got one more episode tomorrow. We'll talk about that tomorrow. That's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And we'll be back tomorrow to talk about more. But in fact, you know what? Let's answer people's questions tomorrow. We've not done that in a while. Let's do that. How about that?
Please, because
Let's do that.
it's always about in service.
Get your questions into the Discord. Get them into the Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Let us know, and we'll answer them tomorrow. How about that? Till next time.
Awesome.
Get buckets.